I wonder if you could turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 2. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and astrologers, and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants a dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream, and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards, and great honour. Therefore show me the dream, and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, Let the king tell his servants a dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time, because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is this decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired for the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then, as the secret was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night vision, then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God for ever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. And so we start our second chapter in the book of Daniel. On our last visit, I mentioned that in the book of Daniel, and we'll see it, it demonstrates the sovereignty of God. And in Daniel 4, verse 17, we read, In order that the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind. If the world would stop and take that into account, we will have a better world today. But we know it will only happen when the King of Kings returns. In chapter 1, we saw evidence of the sovereignty of God in that Daniel and his friends, having been faithful to God, they were blessed by God. They were proven to be 10 times better than all the wise men in the Babylonian kingdom. And remember, they were just teenagers. And all these wise men in the kingdom have had years of study, but that was from a human. Daniel and his companions were trained by God, and they were 10 times better. As we progress through chapter 2, we will once more see evidence of the sovereignty of God. What's chapter 2 about? Chapter 2 is about dreams, visions, interpretations, and the sovereignty of God. We ended chapter 1 with Daniel and his friends graduating with honors from the Royal School of the Chaldeans. As for these four, God gave them knowledge and wisdom and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding, that the king, when he inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers. So, normal process, when you graduated from university, you start to look for a job. Daniel and his companions were employed as civil servants, if you like, in Nebuchadnezzar's government. And they had this particular branch called the branch of wise men, which they became members of. And that brings us to chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream. I've given verses 1 to 5, bad dream and no memory. We all of us dream at some times. And it's quite possible some of us might have had a dream last night. But one of the things that occasionally happen, we get a dream that, not a nightmare, but it disturbs us. And we lay and we think about it, and then we drop off back to sleep. And then we wake up in the morning and there's something in the back of your mind. I had a dream. But you can't remember the details of it. It might have disturbed you, but you can't remember the details of it. And it can be very frustrating. We read that during the second year of King Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he had a disturbing dream one night. And again, it wasn't a nightmare, but it left him troubled and restless. And here, our dreams and his dream are different. He felt that there was some significance in his dreams. And he summoned the wise men of his realm. When we dream, and we can't remember, we can't summon anybody. Or we don't even expect anybody to know what we have dreamt. But he summons the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, so that they could show the king his dreams. In ancient times, dreams were dealt with or thought of in a different way. They were viewed as windows into the world of gods. And hopefully this helps us to understand Nebuchadnezzar's frustration at not being able to remember the detail of his dreams and his desire to know the interpretation of that dream. It was part of the wise men's job to interpret dreams, and so they came and stood before the king. The king explained that I had a dream and it disturbed me, and I want to know more about that dream. A reasonable request from the king, reasonable desire. He had a dream. It was their job to interpret dreams, so he wanted to know. The Chaldeans, having offered their adulations to the king, suggested that if he told them what he dreamt, they will tell him the interpretation. Again, you might say, a reasonable request from the Chaldeans. They didn't know what he dreamt. He wanted them to tell him what he dreamt, and they would tell him the interpretation. Threat of debt versus a promise of reward. The king then went on, and what we might say today, dropped a bomb. He stated that he could not remember the dream, and if the gathering did not make known to him what he had dreamed and the interpretation, they would be killed, cut to pieces, and their homes destroyed, made a dunghill. However, if they did tell him what he had dreamt and the interpretation, they would receive from him gifts and rewards and great honor. He finishes with a command, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. As I said earlier, it is quite possible that we have had a dream which has disturbed our sleep and we can't remember it. We certainly do not expect anyone to be able to tell us our dream. The text suggests that Nebuchadnezzar did not wholly trust his wise men. It is possible that in the past, having dreamt a dream and have told them what the dream was, they had given him an interpretation which favored the king. And the king may have suspected that it wasn't necessarily a true interpretation. On this occasion, however, the king believed that if someone could tell him the dream, then they were more likely to know the interpretation. One could imagine the concern of the Chaldeans. If they had lied in the past, they couldn't this time, because they had to tell what the dream was. The king accuses Gazarin of playing for time, using delaying tactics. He probably imagined that if he gave them time, they would get together, put their heads together, and come up with a solution. The king was in no mood for delay. He had dreamt a dream. It had disturbed his spirit. He could not remember the dream, and the people on whom he relied upon would appear to be unable to help him. His response? There is but one decree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation. Verses 10 and 11, a desperate response from the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans consider the king's response unreasonable. There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. The Chaldeans had failed to do what the king desired. And it could be said that they sought to place the failure not on their inability, but on the king's, for asking him something that no mankind was able to do. Shifting the blame, as we would say. He was asking something that was humanly impossible. They continued to point out that what the king was asking of them was not reasonable. It is a rare thing that the king required, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. The Chaldeans admit that only gods can reveal such mysteries, and those gods do not dwell in flesh. Verses 12 to 13, a deadly decree. The king finally lost his patience. Angry and furious with his wise men, he gave the order that they should be destroyed. In moments of anger, things can be said without any real thought being given, and the results can be disastrous. The decree went forth that all the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. It is a warning and a challenge that we, as individuals, should be careful about our actions should we unfortunately find ourselves in a moment of anger. God's faithful and prepared servant is brought into the picture and responds not in a panic, but with wisdom and faith. It is interesting to note that though Daniel and his three friends had proven to be 10 times smarter than all the wise men in the realm, yet they were not part of the gathering that came to give the king his answer. Was it possible that human rationalization had led the old guard to try and prove themselves and redeem their credibility by attending to the king with the intention of solving the problem amongst themselves, and then Daniel and his friends, if you like, be left out in the cold? We do not know. Daniel and his friends, though upset at the consultation, was now being sought in order that they might be killed without them having a say in their defense. It is generally true that the decisions made or actions taken are rarely sung when we are being influenced by anger or frustrations. This can and will often lead to regret. Let us take note and learn from the actions of Nebuchadnezzar. Verses 14 to 19, Daniel's answer. Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, had been given the task to slay the wise men of Babylon. We read that Daniel answered him with counsel and wisdom. Daniel, as I mentioned, having not been present at the gathering, was unaware of what had taken place. We don't know where he was. May have been out doing something outside the kingdom. But he wasn't aware of what had taken place. Imagine there's a knock on your door, and when you open the door, you're told the king has issued a decree that all the wise men, and that includes you, will be killed. A natural question. I haven't done anything. Why? Daniel questioned to Arioch. Why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Daniel then went to the king and desired that the king would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. That was a display of confidence, not in himself, but his faith in his God. When we have a problem or we are facing a trial, what do we do? To whom should we turn for help? In the next few verses, we are reminded of Daniel and his friends' faith in God. God had blessed them in giving them knowledge that was 10 times better than all the wise men in the king's realm. Now their lives were being threatened. Who else could they turn to than the God who had previously greatly blessed them, the God who created heaven and the earth? Worth noting that whereas the king was not willing to give the wise men of his realm time to sort out the problem, he gave Daniel time to find out what was the dream and its interpretation. Also worth noting, the wise men had said, "There is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." They did not believe in Daniel's God. But did they secretly hope that Daniel's God would solve the problem? Many a disbeliever has cried out to the creator of heaven and earth in moments of desperation. Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to his companions, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and that they should bring the matter before the God of heaven and desire his mercies concerning the secret, so that their lives might be spared, that they should not perish with the rest of the wise men. An encouragement for us when we have a problem or we're facing a trial. Yes, we are encouraged to pray to God. But as we see in this case, Daniel went to his friends, and if you like, they had a prayer meeting, and they brought their problems before God. A few weeks ago, I think, Seb gave us a definition of God's grace and mercy. Grace, we get what we do not deserve. Mercy, we do not get what we deserve. Let's never forget to always seek God's mercy. Verse 19, faith rewarded. The sovereignty, grace, and mercy of God are displayed in that the secret is revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. What Daniel and his friends were unaware of was that though their God had guided them and was using them, so that all that was occurring in their lives would fulfill his own sovereign purpose. Daniel and his friends' prayers having been answered, Daniel blessed the God of heaven. An encouragement and a challenge for us. God is sovereign. He knows all the answer. He does hear all our prayers, and he does answer them. Let us not forget to offer him our blessings when he hears our prayers. Verses 20 to 23, Daniel's blessings and acknowledgement. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. God is to be honoured and revered. In our opening psalm, the psalmist stated that the glorious name of the Lord God is to be blessed forever. When we use or speak the name of God, we are actually making a personal identification and acknowledgement of God and his attributes. And some of those we read of. He changed the times and the seasons. He removed kings and set up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that have no understanding. God is eternal, unchanging, all-powerful, and is therefore worthy of everlasting praise. God is all-wise. He is all-knowing. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in him. The all-wise, all-knowing God revealeth some things which are beyond human comprehension, which could not and would not be known unless he had made known. He made known to Daniel the dream and the interpretation that Nebuchadnezzar was worried about. Some of you may remember, the older folks, may remember the phrase, "She knows, you know. Our God, he knows. He is omniscient. There is nothing hidden from his view. He knows the secret of our heart." Daniel's response to God's hearing and answering his request is to offer thanksgiving and praise. "I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter." As I said earlier, God encourages us to bring our prayers and our concerns before him, but he does not always answer them in the way that we desire. Here, Daniel desired to know the dream, and God answered his dream. Daniel recognized and acknowledged the heritage he has received, for this is the God who revealed himself to his father. He once more acknowledged the grace of God in blessing him with wisdom. We further see the humility of Daniel. Another challenge for us, consistency in our walk with the Creator God. Daniel said, "Thou hast made known unto us the king's matter." The revelation wasn't just for Daniel, even though he was the one whom God revealed it to. And he acknowledged that. He says, "Thou hast made known unto us." All things work for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God was working all things together for the good of his covenant people in the fulfilling of his purpose. Of course, when they're going through the trials, those young men may not have felt that way. It may not have seemed like that when they were being challenged. We need to continue, like Daniel, that even though it may not appear that way, to keep trusting in him, because we know that he is a gracious, merciful, loving, righteous God. May the word of God be a challenge and an encouragement for each of us as we are faced with the various trials in our lives. May the life of Daniel be an encouragement for us to keep trusting the God who sent his Son into the world to save us from the penalty of our sins. Amen.